we gather tonight to see me, as we gather, may your spirit, may your spirit move among us, as we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we praise your name, Jesus. We'll be blessed because we pray. Oh, the steadfast love, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, never ever ceases, sees never come to an end. There are new, there are new every morning, so new, new every morning, so new, Lord, great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, the steadfast love of our Lord, fast love of the Lord never. Oh, it never ever ceases. This never come to an end. There are new, there are new every morning. So new, new every morning. So new, Lord, it is thy faith. Great is your faithfulness, Jesus. It is I think. Oh, one more time, as we gather, may your spirit move among us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that to worship, we'll be blessed because we praise your name. We'll be blessed because we are here to praise you. Lift our hands and say, we are here. We are here to give to you, Lord, the best that we can. Oh, bringing you our love, bringing you our love, rising from our everything within us, God, we love you, I love you. Oh, we are here to praise Jesus. We are here, oh, to praise you, Lord. Lift our hands and, oh, we lift our hands and our hearts to sing to you, Lord. Everything we be, as God, we love you, I love you. Oh, oh, bringing you our love, bringing you our love,
One more time while the pastor comes to pray. Surely, surely around it, his soul comes out. Surely around it, the door to heaven is found. And we know we stand on hope.
Put a bit of a challenge this afternoon.
Amen.
When we pray now to open, amen. If you have something inside of your life that you really, really are putting before the Lord,
hallelujah,
and you want to know that God knows your situation,
yes, sir,
hold it in your heart.
Amen.
And we'll ask the Lord in the preaching of the word to pass by your way.
Amen. Hallelujah.
To confirm that he knows exactly where you are.
Amen.
And that he has the situation,
amen,
under his control.
Amen.
Do we agree on that?
Hallelujah.
Okay, let's hold it inside of our hearts as,
amen,
we pray. Father, we know that you have all things under control. Father, your word says so. But Father, sometimes in life, Lord, in the battles that go on,
amen,
Father, there's the other voice that would speak to us.
Hallelujah.
So Father, we're bringing before you upon this afternoon,
amen,
the desire and the need of our heart. You know where we are. You know what we need. And Father, we know that you are faithfully at work already.
Thank you, Lord,
to deal with this situation.
Yes.
But Father, as your sons and your,
amen,
daughters,
amen,
we're asking of you, Lord, even as you did in the lines of discernment, Lord, as you,
amen,
did in the ministry of the prophet, Lord, when you had revealed the secrets of the heart, and the people's faith would rise up because they would realize this man is speaking things that only God himself could know.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, Father, we bring our situations. Lord, you,
yes,
see every heart even now.
Amen.
You see every life. You see every hand that is raised.
Amen.
You see every situation. Now, Father, you are the only one,
amen,
who could go and minister to every,
yes,
one of these situations,
amen,
Lord.
Amen.
And we know that you're more than willing,
hallelujah,
and you're more than able upon this day.
Amen.
So, Father, we're committing every situation into your hands.
Amen.
And we pray for the minister, Lord, that you just lead,
yes,
him,
Father,
in the way that you always lead your,
amen,
servants.
Amen.
And pass our way, O,
yes,
Lord.
Amen.
While on others thou art calling,
hallelujah,
do not pass us by.
Hallelujah.
Bless your people.
Please,
bless,
Lord,
the service.
Yes.
You be glorified in,
yes,
Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. We'll
just sing one song, and Tabitha wants to sing a song for us. The windows of heaven are open, the blessings are falling tonight. is joy, joy, joy in my heart. Since Jesus makes everything right. Oh, I gave it. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight.
We just want to thank the Lord. Because sometimes I wanted my children to sing, and they were saying no, no. And Tabitha yesterday, she said, I want to sing, and I tried to discourage her. She was saying, I want to sing, so I didn't want to discourage her more. So we praise the Lord.
Jesus, I love you, I love you. Good people. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Because you care.
Look at people.
Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, because you care. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you. Jesus, I love you, I love you.
Look at people.
Because you care. Because you care.
Sister Angel, huh? Sister Angel, sing.
They had a voice of God
from a supernatural place into a supernatural place, hearing God's voice, seeing His face, heavenly words of light has shone on the bright water, reflection of glory and grace. What a reflection of glory and grace. In the dark of night, God sent a light to quicken us by the rising of the sun. Our gloom is passed away, and we are looking at the day through eyes that see a supernatural place into a supernatural place, hearing God's voice, seeing His face, heavenly words of light has shone on the bright water, reflection of glory and grace. What a reflection of glory and grace. Into a supernatural place, hearing God's voice, seeing His face, heavenly words of light has shone on the bright water, reflection of glory and grace. What a reflection of glory and grace. God bless you.
By the word of the Lord, Joshua spake to the sun, don't move until the battle is won. Moon, stay in line in the valley of Ajalon. And there was no day like that ever that the Lord hearkened unto man. Come from His side, in the word you must abide. Life of His breath, awakening He that's in the shadow of day. You can't stop the sun, by faith the victory's won. Bride of Christ, stay. Chaos of Jericho. Sorry, he reasoned, but he had to go. One look at Christ, he ceased to run. But how he stopped the sun? Right there, his battles were all won. For Zacchaeus lined up with the sun. Come from his side, in the word you must abide.
life of His breath, awakening you that's in the shadow of day. You can't stop the sun. By faith the victory is won. Bride of Christ, stay in light. Oh, oh, oh. Bride of Christ, stay in light. Here in this last golden age, an end time people in a final stage, you have seen the manifestation of the Son of Man. Bride of Christ, keep pressing while you can. Won't be long, we'll be going home. Maranatha, even now, we come from His side. In the Word, you must abide. My poppy's breath, awakening He that's in the shadow of day. Can't stop the sun. By faith the victory is won. Bride of Christ, stay light. Oh, oh, oh. Bride of Christ, stay light.
Amen. Hallelujah. Sorry about the words, they were mixed up. Amen. Let's continue to sing. Let's sing. We are marching over to Jerusalem. Amen. We are marching over to Jerusalem. We are marching over to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Prisoner's chair.
temporary need. Oh,
Amen. Mighty God.
Hallelujah.
Let's just pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as we've come now to this part of the service, once again we leave it into your mighty hands. Your prophet will say that when Joseph, he was a son of prosperity, and whatever you can just trust into your hands is going to prosper. Therefore, we once again want you to come and to bless us by the way of your word. Thank you. I want your help. I want your strength.
Amen.
I want your mind, Lord, now. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
As you're standing, let's read the word of God. I wanted to preach something tonight on the field of the blood. Maybe I'll keep it for Wednesday night. It's going to take some time. Therefore, we'll just go and read a scripture. I just felt like going on that part of it, full obedience to the word of God. Therefore, I'll take the scripture from Joshua chapter 11, verse 15. Full obedience. That's the way. If we want to see the hands of God, we have to obey.
Amen.
But not a partial obedience.
Yes.
But full obedience.
Amen.
Joshua 11 verse 15. Let's take the verse 14. And all the spoil of these cities and the cattle the children of Israel took for a prey unto themselves. But every man they smote with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them. Neither left they any to breathe. As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. For he came from God to the prophet and then to the ministry under the prophet. Huh? He said, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua, now because of that, full obedience, so Joshua took all that land, the hills, and all the south country, and all the land of Goshen, and the valley, and the plain, and the mountain of Israel, and the valley of the same, even from the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal Gad, in the valley of Lebanon, unto Mount Hermon, all their kings he took, and he smote them, and slew them.
Amen.
Look at the result of the full obedience,
yes,
to the law of Moses. Look at the victory he had.
Yes.
It's a victory in totality, everywhere.
Amen.
The plains, the mountains, the valley,
yeah,
the kings, everything now, because of that full obedience to the word of the prophet. You may be seated for a while. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Still with the same thought in mind about the worth of a prophet.
Amen.
I'm just carrying the same thought till I came here. Is the worth of a prophet, and stay with the vision, obey the vision. That's where the victory lies. And we all know that we were in dark denominationalism. We had to have the prophet. As I said my first day here, it's not that we are bragging on the prophet above the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what people think. No, we have in mind our Lord. That's sure. But yet, as I was telling you, I don't know, maybe yesterday, we were reading the Bible where we were there, but we didn't understand what we understood today. I think you know that God had the
His word allotted for every age. So what we have to do, what we had today, we would never, it's not by chance, by accident that we are here in this time we're living in. Nobody here had the choice to live in that season we are living. Nobody had the choice to choose in which family you wanted to live. What color of skin you wanted to have. Nobody had the choice to live in which country, in what season. You could have been born in the time of Luther. Therefore, it's a sovereign act of God. Since you had no prerogative in choosing the season, your country, your anything, therefore, it behooves God now to take care of what He did Himself. That simple thing should give you faith enough. I'm not here by accident. I'm here for a purpose. And if He found it wise in his whole counsel to make me come in this season, it should be also wise enough to provide for my needs for this season. You know quite well, if you took nature, things grow in their season. And then if you take an apple tree from here, try to put it in Mauritius, it will never grow. Therefore, everything, its season, its environment, it's God who will see to it that everything goes fine by the end of the day. I want to read some quotes to you, which I like. I'm here also to fight those demons. But the word of God is also expressed to cast out devils. Those demons who tell you, no, read only your Bible, which I do every day. We sing that song, read your Bible, pray every day. We do that. But I'm saying again, without the light of this hour on the scriptures, we would not have seen what we're seeing. In the message, Spiritual Food in Due Season, I'm going to read some quotes from there. Paragraph 4 says, I want you to get built up now in the... I like to read slowly. Amen. And to take those little, even pronoun what it said. He said, I want you to get built up now. Amen. In the... Then this holy oracles of God. Amen. You know, I don't know whether... I'm not teaching a grammar session. When he said this, in French, it's called prono demonstratif. Amen. That is, he's showing something specific now. He said, in the... Then he stop. I believe even that stop, that pause, even if they think that he's his grammar is very poor because he went to seventh grade, but I don't think it was himself talking. Amen. It was God. Because Abraham said, God will form the will choose somebody and He will make of him a certain character. Amen. To meet some kind of people, specific people for the age. God had to use that kind of a language. That's why maybe sometimes people think it was like funny when he was saying, somebody told him, Brother Branham, you don't say pulpit. Just say pulpit. You say, they were teasing him like that. Not knowing that God was using even his language. Amen. Even the language, I think in the Christ, the mystery of God really say this. He said, even that language, it was God who brought that man to speak like this. In this holy oracles of God, in the faith of this hour, the faith, exclamation, is going to take more faith than ever was in any age for this house to be rapturing faith, be taken up. And so we want you to believe tonight in all that you have seen. I am fighting demons, I'm telling you. I'm fighting those guys who told me, don't read the message. There's no more life in that thing. And yet, that's where I've seen the power transformation. The life that I wanted to live there in the denomination, I couldn't. But in that message of the hour, there's enough power in there. They always said, and so we want you to believe tonight in all that you have seen, heard, the word that you have heard preached, the signs, the wonders that you have seen done, we want you to accumulate all that together in your heart and consider it. Whether it that if that be God or not. Now he's challenging people. You want to have the faith for the rapture. You want to have the faith to go out of here. And we will need more faith than in any other age. And I want you to accumulate what you've seen, what you've heard, all the signs, the wonders. I want you to consider it, whether if that be God or not. Now, if we have to conclude, every one of us tonight, that this is of God, then why would people try to come to us and try to persuade us not to read those books? He's saying, listen to those things, just accumulate all those things, and then consider whether it's of God or not. Then in paragraph 9, he said this, and it gives me great pleasure to get to see when you know that you have a message from God. I'm reading the same message now. And it gives me great pleasure to get to see when you know that you have a message from God. You know, he's saying that the message he was preaching is not from him. It's from God. You know, we better be careful. I'm telling those people, we better be careful. Because I know these things are going online. It's good. They better be careful to try to say things about this message. Because the prophet is saying here, because it gives me great pleasure to get to see when you know that you have a message from God and you give it to the people and see the people respond to that. See, now, what he's expecting from the people, he's giving out a message and he's expecting people to respond to the message. He said, when I see that, it gives me great pleasure. I believe if he was here tonight, he would be very pleased to hear us. Amen. Because we are responding to that message. Not from him. No, it was from God. Amen. Then you look back and say, thank you, Father. Now he's even thanking God. Thank you, Father. Oh, what a joy it is then to see the children eating the bread that's been sent to them. Like expressing thankfulness, gratitude that message is not from me, but to see a message from God and how the people are responding to that. And it gives me great, I think it's God is getting great pleasure to see his people reacting to a message whom he sent through the mouth of his prophet. He said, I said, thank you, Father. What a joy it is to see the children eating the bread that's been sent to them. Realize that it was a vision years ago, right here at this tabernacle. Now he's saying that that thing came out of a vision years ago. You remember that vision where he saw radishes, big carrots, vegetables, you know? God told him to go and store the food there. Right here at this tabernacle, that's right, the bread of life, Brother Neville. He calls the message, the bread of life. And Jesus Christ, when he was here, he said, I am the bread of life. And people were angry with him. And the same thing is happening today. He's saying the message is the bread of life. Do you believe that? He said, I'm pleased, I'm happy to see how people are responding to the message. That's right, the bread of life, Brother Neville. You remember it? Mighty time. And when he was preaching that message, while he was reading the scripture, he said, okay, I don't know how long I would be here, but brother, no, I like the word of the hour, man. You know why I like the word of the hour? Let me tell you why. Let me give you some adjectives. They say adjectives is a word that qualify a noun in grammar. You say a boy, a girl, a table, when you say a good boy. For the good is the adjective qualifying the boy. Eh? That's grammar. Let me give you some adjectives in the Bible. What the Bible says about the message of the hour. Yeah. It's in the Bible. They like the Bible. I'll give them the Bible. Amen. It says here in Matthew 4, when Jesus Christ left Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. He said when he came there, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. Therefore, he's coming to that place. Because light now, it's not that light. You know that? According to the message, it's not the light. It's not the light of the sun. The light is when the scripture is being interpreted. That is light. Therefore, Christ now, the word which had been prophesied since Eden, since God told about how he's going to bruise the serpent's head, from that time to the mouth of the prophet, it came now to pass. The word now is being interpreted. The word now is becoming to reality. The word was made flesh now. And that was the light of the hour. They said, now the people who were in darkness, therefore, the coming of the message, the coming of this message, it was prophesied. It's not something that came out of the blue. It was God saying, I will send you Elijah. Therefore, when that word came to manifestation, it was the light for this hour. In that dark area, the dark age we are living in, it was light. He said, the people that sat in darkness saw great light. Amen. Therefore, the word coming to manifestation, the word coming to birth in our time was a great light. Because it was a dark time. You remember that when he drew the picture of the seven church ages, he put some light there. You remember that? He put some light because there were still some people there. But when God drew that same thing in heaven there, in the church age book, there was no light there. You remember that, right? Because it was dark. And then we have such a word now, it's a great light. Not a simple light, a great light. I know you believe the message. I'm reading something to you right now. That's why sometimes you need to see between the lines. In that message, the great shining light. Look at the title. It said, the great shining light. I'll read you some quotes there, but please fasten your belt. He said, Abraham is giving a story now how the wise men, they were around the fire. They were studying the scrolls. They came to Numbers. And he gave scriptures. How they were studying this. Then while they were studying, and those wise people, let me tell you something, those wise people, they are those who were studying the stars. It was the people of over the seven church ages. I won't have time to show it to you. It was the people of seven church ages. And they were in the time of Paul, they were studying the star, Paul. In the time of Irenaeus, they were studying the star, Irenaeus. Eh? There was wise, those majors was wise people. I could take a full service on that book only. He said it takes wise people to come to Christ. There were those majors, those wise people, they were studying the word of God. He said it was at that time, while they were studying, it was at that time the star. Now listen, the star is a messenger. The star that we know today as cold star appeared in the sky. I can imagine, listen carefully, that those majors with one accord stood speechless as they looked at the phenomena of a star that had defied the laws of the solar system. Now, it's not a story now. He is showing now that while they were studying, the majors were studying the star, but there was one of those stars that came out, defied the solar system. And the stood there speechless. Because that star was different one. He never formed part of the system. It was out of all organization. You know, I think you're catching what I'm trying to say. He was not amongst those people there. He came out from them. And those wise men, they stood speechless. When they look at the phenomena of a star that had defied the laws of the solar system and had come from the great constellations of the heavenly bodies. Look where it's coming. From the great constellation of the heavenly bodies to declare something when it was fixing to happen. That's why the message was sent. That's why the prophet was sent. To declare something that was fixing to happen. And he came out of those systems, denominational, to declare something. They said, I hope at this point you can read between the lines. He didn't want to say outright what he wanted to say. But he knew somehow that little bride would be able to catch it. I hope that at this point you can read between the lines what we mean. That in this day, God has defined everything to declare himself. That he's alive today. That was the reason of the message. That Christ, which was dead in denominations, which was dead in history, that ministry came to defy all those systems to bring Christ alive again. That's why Tommy was born. I knew what he was saying. He said, the Christ that we knew there in the Bible, who was walking the shores of Galilee, who was there in Capernaum, we've seen him back again in the roads of Tulsa, Oklahoma. He was testifying that the Christ was alive. Not the man from Galilee there, but in a ministry that brought Christ alive. I'm trying to get to you. This is a message. He said, in this day, God has defied everything to declare himself. That he's alive today, has raised from the dead in his great celestial body. The picture here of his being would defy every infidel. The picture, he had the picture there, he wasn't ashamed. That picture here of his being would defy every infidel in the world. He's alive forevermore. Let me go ahead and say, but they had watched the heavenly lights. They had watched the heavenly lights. There were many lights. But this light seemed to be different from all the rest of them. This message is different from all the rest of them. I believe that's what he said in the church aid book. He said, I ask you who will have the word of infallibility. I'll tell you who will have the word of infallibility. Not the Pope. It's going to be someone whose ministry will be vindicated. So much vindicated that more than any other prophet who existed since the time of Enoch. Do you believe that? He had a ministry. That light seemed to be different. I'm showing you the great light. One of the superlative light. Jesus came to Capernaum. Jesus came. Brother Branham came to Los Angeles. That's how he compared. And he came. A great light appeared in the coast of West Coast of America. It was Jesus Christ. His ministry being revived in the ministry of that prophet. But this light, all the lights we had, all the Pentecostal lights, the Baptist lights, everything. He said, to be different from all the rest of them. Now he's going to prove what he's saying. And we've watched today the lights of the church. We've watched the Methodists, the Baptists, they were the lights. The Baptists, the Pentecostal, the Presbyterian lights. But to those who look for him, there seems to be a different light. Has begun to shine. That's why I cannot compare this message with any other messages. It's unique, that message. It's different from all other lights because it has come as a great light, in great shining light. He said, but to those who look for him, there seems to be a different light has begun to shine that's declaring him. That's why this message, the coming of this prophet, he was not declaring him. It was going Jesus Christ. He was pointing us to the word of God, back to him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In his great, magnificent beauty and power of a heavenly body that's been sent in the form of the Holy Ghost in these last days to the church to declare his resurrection power and his forever and eternal light that now exists among his believers. Oh, how marvelous it is to see that. What he does. Now, there they stood. There are they stood spellbound. Look how many times he will show that. People were spell. Those magi, those wise, they were spellbound by that light. Friends would say they are charmed. You know, like a boy seeing a girl, a beautiful girl for the first time. Hey, it's charmed, spellbound. You can't even... spellbound. They were in front of that light. That's why I cannot get my mind out of this message. I can't accept any other light.
even any other eighth messenger. There is no way. He said, now, are this, there's this to spellbound, one could not speak to the other. For the glory of this light has spellbound them. The glory of this light, the glory of this message, the glory of what God reserved for us in this last day. And those, then he continues, paragraph 59, and as those magi stood spellbound as they watched that light, finally I can hear one say to the other, oh, isn't this a magnificent token that something is just about to happen? Therefore, that message has come to tell us something is just about to happen. And when they looked one to the other, one to another, and after a while, they watched it. Perhaps all night. All the night of Laodicea. Those my magi, they watched it. Not any other light. They had their eyes focused on that light only. They watched it perhaps all night. How it gleamed. It seemed to be brighter. It seemed to be brighter than all the other stars. That's why I cannot accept any other man. Because that light that God sent seems to be brighter than all the other stars. It seemed like they could take their eyes off of it. You cannot take your eyes off of the message and to look at any other star. That's why I'm sorry if I tell you that, because on the field, that's how I'm being fought. I don't have to look to Coleman. No. I don't like to look to Evald Frank. No. You don't know what they are doing on the field with the word of the hour. You don't know. But I know because I'm there. But I don't have to look to them. Because when you look at that star, it's so bright. It's so gleaming with light. You won't have the time to look to any other lights. You would be spellbound just to look at that one star. You're going to watch it all the night through. Your eyes will be focused on that one only. And I'm sure if we see that great eternal light shine into our face, we will not look to our denominations to say we are Baptist, we are Presbyterian, we are Pentecostal, or whatever it might be. We will only look to the light and live. He is the eternal light. Do you believe that? They were overwhelmed by it. That star appeared to lead them to their final destination of their journey. That's why if, when they asked Rebecca, when the brother and the mother, they asked Rebecca, will you follow that man? Rebecca had to say yes. You know why? You know why she has to say yes? To follow that man. Because without that man, she won't see Isaac. She don't know the way to Isaac. She needs that man to bring her to Isaac. For today, it's very simple. We need that prophet to bring us to our Isaac also. Therefore, we're not following a man, but yet we have to follow a man. You cannot talk of the Red Sea without talking about Moses. You cannot talk about the Temple of Solomon without talking about Solomon. I cannot talk of that message without talking about William Branham. We are ashamed of that prophet. Do you believe that? See, and these mighty magi over a year and 6 months in their journey on their own, watching, following nothing, no other direction but the star. The great shining light. That was one scripture in Matthew I just gave you. The great light. Oh, I like that. Just give me one moment. What a great message. And then in the book of Luke, he came to a place where he raised the son of the widow of Nain. When he raised that son up, he said, and he that was dead sat up, and he began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen amongst us. Now, look how he identifies a great prophet. A great prophet is risen among us. And God has visited his people. Before, a great prophet means God has come to visit us.
Amen.
Do you believe that? It's not William Branham. It's God who came to visit us. It's God who came, who chose a veil. Let me tell you something. In the book of the Acts, when I came to the message, the fact that I was fighting the message, God opened my eyes to many scriptures where I saw the prophet ministry in the Bible. Like that. And when I was reading the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 8, Abraham talks of Philip was having a great revival there, but God moved him out of that revival to go to one man in the desert. When I was reading the Bible, then I see it was the prophet's ministry. That's why he was relating that many times. He said he had a big revival, 1,000 people over there. And if you read the scripture, he was in a healing campaign. There was the halt, the maimed, the blind. He was casting devils. It was a great miraculous healing campaign. But then God, and there was a man who was following him, Simon the magician. That man was rich because he was trying to buy the gift of the Holy Ghost with money. That's Laodicea. That's Laodicea trying to get the gifts. Was just off to the gifts. And they were, we are rich. Rich Laodicea. And he wanted to buy those gifts. And God now was removing the prophet from those big revival campaigns, those pulls, to bring him to a one man in the desert. And the angel, it was a commission from an angel, come there. And when he came, that man, I don't know how it is in English, but in French he said, approche-toi de ce char. Which, this means, come near. Don't stay. That man is reading his Bible. That's why I was telling you yesterday, we can read the Bible, but we are taught by a prophet. He was reading the Bible. He came from a big denomination. He came from Pentecost. He was amongst big, dignified doctors of theology. He was there sitting by them, but when he came home, he was as more confused as he was when he went there.
Amen.
Because while he was reading, nothing he couldn't understand. Simple thing, his mind was confused. He was coming from the big seminaries confused. But while he was coming, God saw him reading the scripture. I like that. God sees him reading the scripture and can understand the scripture. Therefore, he took that the prophet, that Philip, and Abraham said, in that time, specific time, read that in the message, I think the spoken word original. He said, at that specific time in history, the only man who had seed was Philip. He said, like in a body, we were amongst great people, mature people. He said, in the body of a man, there's only one organ that secretes the seed. And in that body, right that moment, only Philip had the seed. Like today, only that prophet had the seed. He was given the word for the hour. Therefore, he only in the body he had the seed. Therefore, he was coming now, and he came near. Because if it would have stayed far, it would never have been able to impregnate that man.
Amen.
And that was the story of the kinsman redeemer.
Amen.
He had to come near. He had to come a kinsman to us. God had to veil himself in the flesh. You understand that? Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying he's God. But he was a God. We are gods to begin with. Therefore, God was using that veil to come near us. Because while we were reading, while we were in those denominations, we were confused. We need a guide. Therefore, he asked the man, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I understand if somebody did not guide me? Therefore, in his words, he was showing that he was missing something. There was a missing element. While he was serving God, he needed a guide to guide him through the scriptures. And the man now, and you know what? He was reading is Isaiah 53, which was the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The history, how he's going to be killed Therefore, he was reading the first part of redemption. which was the price being paid. Whereas for us today, it was the second part of redemption too. As God did for the first price, first part, he had to send a kinsman redeemer again with the power to guide us through the scriptures that we might understand now the second part of redemption, which is the opening of the seals. He said, now, when he raised that boy, he said, a great prophet is risen among us, and God has visited his people. For in the Bible now, it's clear, great light, great prophet. And somewhere in Luke 14, Brother Branham said, this scripture, Luke 14, he said, talks about his ministry. In the message, is your life worthy of the gospel? He said, he went out. He said, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper. There was a great light that came to our way this time. A great prophet. Now a great supper. The spiritual food in due season, a great supper. And then he said that he sent his servant at supper time, which was in the time of the night. It was in the evening time there would be light. Therefore, he sent that man in the supper time. And Brother Abraham said, you look there, he sent that man three times. The first time he sent him to those who were bidden, the refused, and their excuses were terrible. The one said, I just bought a piece of land. I'm going to go and see it. No, come on. You buy it. You don't see the piece. You buy it. What about if you are buying a hole in the earth? You go and see the land first and then you buy it. Amen. Don't tell me you stay home, you buy a car. You go and see the car. The boy said, I bought a land. I got to see it now. The other one said, I bought 5 cows, I think, or oxen. I'm going to prove them. What about if they were lame cows? They can't walk. How could he buy them before he looked at them? They were trying to present some excuses that was not right. And the other one said, we just got married. But that's a good reason to go to a feast. That's a good reason for you to go to a supper. All those excuses were nonsense. And the first group and the second group, the man was angry. He said, now go. Go to the maimed, go to the poor, go to the halt, go to the blind. Then he said, Master, I've gone to them, but there's still room. He said, now go to the hedges, to the Bible, to the highways. You know? Brahman said, these were the three points of that servant, which was his ministry. He was in ministry, but he was a great supper. Now, if you look elsewhere now, he said, how can we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? The salvation in times of Christ was great. Was already good, but yet now today, after what happened in the church ages, after the life just was down, dwindled down, God sent a great salvation. Therefore, that message is a great light. It's a great prophet. It's a great supper. And it's a great salvation. Even the Bible talks about it. When I think about it sometimes, I think in Psalm 69, I don't know what verse. Jesus Christ, David was writing. He said, they gave me gall. They gave me gall. It was bitter. That was the word that David, that Jesus Christ, I don't know how many years later, 712 years, on the cross, he'll be saying, I'm thirsty. He was expressing thirst. I wanted you to see that before I carry on. He was thirsty. I think with a hemorrhage, blood getting out, he was thirsty. And he cried out, I'm thirsty. And they came now with that gall, with that vinegar. But he spat it. He didn't drink it. He was thirsty. But yet he didn't take it in. Look at David on the battlefield. He reached a point where he was thirsty. And then his mighty, gentle warriors like noted that. And they wanted, through the perils of their life, they fought how many Philistines to go and get water for David. To just give them for this thirst. But he poured it on the ground. He was thirsty. But he poured it on the ground. Even Elijah When he asked from that woman coming from the mountain, he asked the first thing he asked for from the widow, give me some water. He was thirsty. But that thirst was hiding something. It wasn't that thirst. It was God sending him for a reason. But he was expressing a thirst. All those prophets, they came with a thirst. Jesus Christ came to the well there. He was thirsty. Amen. Gave me some water. But that wasn't the reason. Elias there, when he went to look for Rebecca, he was thirsty. But the reason behind it was more than just a drink of water. Amen. The first moment it was to get a bride for Isaac. There on Jesus Christ to get that prostitute woman. Because her soul had a representation. Amen. Before she was going after something. When Christ was saying, I'm thirsty, what was he looking for? I thought about that. For me, it was God fellowship by redemption. Amen. God wanted fellowship. The thirst he was looking, he was experiencing, is a thirst for fellowship. He couldn't stay alone. It is not good for men to be alone. Yeah. That's expression of fellowship. That's why when you come to church, that's why when we know the message, we know it's for fellowship. God brought us back to fellowship with him. Amen. Have you ever asked yourself in Eden when God will come down every night, every cool of the evening, he would talk to Adam. What was he doing there with Adam? Why would he come down there in the garden to see Adam? I've asked myself, you know, we call it conversational openness. I went to somebody, when you meet him, how are you, brother? Hey, how is the weather? What happened yesterday? I heard there was a problem in Ireland, you know? We began to open the conversation with some news. It's hotter. It was cool every day, but it finished out. But in Eden, what is the news God was asking from Adam? Did you sleep well? There was any mosquitoes yesterday night? Huh? How about the fever you had the other day, you know? Then what would God come every day and talk to Adam? I believe, it's not my interpretation, I believe maybe he would come and say, Adam, I love you. Yes. And Adam would say, oh Lord, I love you. Amen. What a beautiful wife you put by my side. Yeah. There was a fellowship. Amen. Going on every day. Of love, based on love. Amen. On words of gratitude. On words of, he was very thankful to God for what he did. Of the power he let in his hands. How he would control nature. There was a dialogue every day. You believe that? The message of the hour has come for that. Therefore, in Hebrews 1, let me read to you. I want the prophet to interpret to you. You know, in the gospel, I found that amazing. There are three resurrection. Let me tell you to you. He's gone. The one was the girl, the little girl. You know how it came about? It's Jairus. My brother said, Jairus, the daughter was sick. Now, he looked at the daughter, no improvement. Maybe the call on Jehovah. Maybe the quote scriptures, I'm Jehovah Rapha. I sent my word and heals you. Maybe he was quoting all those things. My brother said his deacons came along. They tried to comfort him in that moment of trouble. But at one point in time, he was realizing, I'm criticizing that man there, that man of Galilee. I joined myself with the Sanhedrin. We had meetings, board meetings. We talked against that man every time. He's destroying our denomination. But yet, I'm hearing great things are happening. The new message of the hour there, something is more miraculous than what we had here. We are following like a tradition. We are quoting scriptures, but nothing is alive. And my daughter in that dilemma, there is no healing. There is no improvement. But Abraham said, at one moment in time, he decided, I'm going to go. And the deacons were observing what he's doing, you know. He said, he put his hat, he got his coat, he get out of the house. Where are we going, pastor? I'm going to contact that man. He said, you know what? The Sanhedrin will put you out. I don't care. I'm going to subscribe to a message that's alive. to subscribe to a heavenly light that has shone brighter than any other stars. What I see, what I'm hearing happening, we've never had that around our circles. Let me go and have a look. You know what? Sometimes I don't bother any new people here. When I came to the message, a voice, it's not an audible voice, some impression came to me. It was early, about 4 in the morning. Said, go and look in your dictionary. It's not an audible voice, huh? Just that impression. Therefore, I go, and the word I was looking for was, in French, préjugé. Préjugé means like to judge before. Then the dictionary said, you just make an opinion of something without first examining the thing. Well, that's what I was doing. I was saying the prophet is a devil, the message of the devil, everything. I never came across. In the scripture, that woman, when he saw Jesus Christ, he said, how come you a Jew, you ask me to drink? See now, the first appearance of Jesus Christ, she thought he was a Jew. She did some judgment before even talking with him. Amen. And the Lord told me, if you knew who is the one talking to you, you would ask him for water. Therefore, many people won't come to the message because we heard people say, don't go there, it's the devil, don't go there. There they worship Branham. And you don't know, and then you don't come. But that lady, like Nathanael, when Philip went to see him, Branham said, Philip gave him the right answer. When Philip went to see him, he said, hey, you know, we have been studying about the Messiah. He's there in Nazareth. He said, Nazareth. Of all the places, can something good come out of Nazareth? You know what that means also? That's where Jesus Christ was raised, in Nazareth. And that's here. Nothing can come out good of Nazareth. But yet, Jesus Christ, God is in there. There is nothing good that can come out of this flesh. But yet, Jesus Christ was raised. The word is in here in Nazareth. Therefore, he said, don't criticize. Don't stay afar off and criticize. Come and see for yourself. But when he came, then he said, Rabboni, you are the great king of Israel. Even the man who was blind from birth, he didn't know who he was. He said, that man told me to go and wash my face there in the pool of Siloam. You know, that also is Laodicea. Because that man was blind. And Jesus Christ sent him to the pool of Siloam, which means sent one. He had to go to the sent one. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. I think in John 6, they ask him the question, what shall we do to do the works of God? With a plural meaning. Works, he said, the work of God. Not the works. The work of God is to believe the one whom God has sent. See now, therefore that young man now, if you read the scripture, he said, I don't know that man. He told me that. I don't know whether he's a prophet. Then he was just progressing in the revelation. Amen. And then he was put out of the church. Read your Bible. He was put out of Laodicea. You know where he met Jesus Christ? Outside the door. Not in the temple. Outside the temple. And Christ said, do you believe in the Son of God? He said, who is he? He said, it's me. And he worshipped him. Do you believe that? Therefore, I believe that we have a powerful message. That's what I'm trying to bring to you. We cannot get our eyes off of this message. Don't try to look to any other one. Amen. In the gospel now, he raised, Jairus said, okay, let's go. While he went to Jesus, listen to me. While we've got a God of foresight who sees things before. I want to tell you that to encourage you. While he's going there, let's see a piece of theater act. He came to Jesus Christ. He just fell down. He said, come, my daughter is sick. Come and lay hands on her. Now, Jesus Christ, God, knowing that on the way right now, people are coming. Amen. To tell him, don't bother the master. The daughter is died. He's dead. But now God foreseeing the bad news. It's like a theater. The curtain just close. And it opened. I will see a lady, a very weak lady. 12 years, she was sick. And that daughter, the Bible specified, when she died, she was 12 years old. Amen. And that lady had 12 years issue of blood. And you know what is blood? It's life. That lady was a church losing life gradually. And she spent all her money in the hands of doctors. Doctors of divinity, I'm saying. Eh? All those doctors were teaching her, but her case was worsening. She was dying. And she was losing blood at church now. Now she's going to meet after 12 years, which is 12 is the number of worship. He's going to meet with his only place of worship. She's going to meet, the church is going to come in contact with her only place of worship. And she came there and she touched the hem of her garment. I like that. She said, if I could only touch the hem. Somewhere in the message, his unfailing words of promise, preached in 1964, he said this. He said, that woman, she never had seen an example of somebody touching the hem of the garment. She had faith on something that was never scriptural. And that brought her healing. What about us if we can put our faith in the promises of God? Now, when that woman came behind, she touched the hem of the garment. Jesus Christ felt like his strength. He said, who touched me? Now, listen to me. If he knew that somebody touched him, Peter rebuked, said, how come you are saying who touched you? Because you see the crowd thronging around you. He said, no, somebody touched me. It's a different touch. Amen. Then, therefore, if he knew that somebody touched him, he should know who touched him. Amen. Therefore, he had his eyes over the crowd. Amen. He was scanning the crowd. Amen. And he recognized the lady. And the lady was shaking. Huh? He said, then she had to say everything. Look what was happening. He did that on purpose. For the church to testify of what? Of the power of resurrection. She tasted of the power of, she was dying for 12 years. Blood was getting out of her. Life was coming out of her. And now she just experienced the power of resurrection. And while she's testifying about that, Christianity moves on to another people. While she's testifying that men now, the news will be coming to him, your daughter is dead. But already God is undergirding his faith to believe in a resurrection. Because right now before you, you see in my hand, you see the power of resurrection. You believe that? A God of foresight. And when Christ raised that daughter, look what he said. He told the people, he said, feed her. I like that. I've gone purposely on those three resurrection. He's asked them to feed her. You know what? That message is a message of resurrection. But our problem, when we raise in that message, we do not feed ourselves enough. Even if you are raised from the dead, if that message has raised you from the dead sepulchres, from the dead denominations, you're not supposed to stay like that. You've got to feed yourself. That's why Abraham preached that message. Spiritual food in due season. He was showing the people. And then while he was reading that scripture, he stopped. Where it said, do you see now? The Bible said, I'll feed you there. He was reading 1 Kings chapter 17, where God was telling Elijah to stay by the brook. I'll feed you there. You see? It was a place. He had to stay there. Do you believe that? Amen. Let me show it to you. In that, I like that message. He said, I'm sorry that I'm giving tidbits. In the book of Ruth, chapter 2, he said, Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. I'm bringing the same message every day to show to you, stay in the middle of the hour. Go not to glean in another field. Those magi could not look to any other star, any other lights. Don't go glean in any other field, neither go from hence. But abide here. Abide here. Fast by my maidens. Stay here. Near my well. Verse 9 said, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. I believe God has got able ministers, able vessels to give you the drinker. And but stay there. Don't go on any other field. Look what the Bible said. He said, realize that we are facing some of the greatest hours that history has happened. That's why I was saying, I'm here not to bring something new. Realizing the time we are living, I wanted to come and stabilize your faith in that message of the hour. Because we're living treacherous times right now. We are going through treacherous waters. But now we realize that we are facing one of the greatest hours that history has ever known. It isn't exactly the warhead. That's why people are talking about warhead, about bombs, about Putin. Okay. But he said, it's not about warhead with bright, shiny missile with a head on it that we should be afraid of. It's the churches that we should be afraid. It's the hour that we are living that we should watch. So Elijah one time was down at Dothan. And the Syrian army had come over and surrounded the city to take him. Because they know that's where the nation's power laid, was in that seer. The nation's power laid in the seer. Not in the Pentagon. Not in the decision of the White House. That's what he says. Because you know why? Because that seer was even be able to contradict what they were doing, all the plans of the enemy. You remember that, the Syrian army, when the king said, there must be a spy among us. Every time we have some strategy, the Israelites are coming against that. How come they know there's a spy here? The man said, no, there's no spy. There's a seer over there. That's why Brother Ben said, the nation's power was in the seer. Therefore, I believe that the Christian's power lies in the seer. Lies in the word of the hour. For God to show you things that might come your way. Now listen to those who say, I don't read the message. Read your Bible. Let me read you a quote. 62. I read that in Brother Becker's church. Somebody came rushing to me and said, brother, I've never seen that. Show me that quote. He said, the prophets of the Old Testament. Then he stops. Or any time. I like the thing. Not only of the old, but of any time, even our time. The prophets of the Old Testament, or any time, when they lived in the presence of God until they become the Word. Amen. They lived in the presence of God. Do you believe what I'm saying? Amen. They become the Word. Amen. Their message is the Word itself. Amen. You know, when they are telling me read the Word, I'm reading the Word. I'm reading the Word right now. Because their message, because they lived there in that presence. And remember he said, thus saith the Lord. And when those men had those messages from God, they become so wrapped up that their own thinking. They were so absorbed by God's presence. They couldn't think their own thinking. That's why Isaiah, when he was there in the inspiration, if he knew what he was writing, he would stop. He said, what a foolishness I'm writing. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. How come a virgin can conceive? How come? We've never had that before. And it's not possible biologically. How come? If he uses his mind, but he was so wrapped up in the presence of God that when he began to write, he was writing the word of God. Therefore, I can say the same thing. Our prophet was so wrapped up in the presence of God that the message of the hour is the word of God itself. He said it might have been against their thinking. They might not have been able to see it right, but they were speaking the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. Now we find out that Elijah could say that. What were we saying? He told the king, there would be no rain, no dew, but by my word. He said he could say that because the message of the hour and the word of God. He stopped. Because the message of the hour and the word of God. He stopped. The messenger, the message and the word was exactly the same thing. The message of the hour, the messenger, the word, the message is exactly the same thing. Do you believe that? I believe that word. In paragraph 1 to 6 of the same message, he said, we notice there, here again, if the word is in us. That's why I'm saying that little damsel, when she woke up, he said, give her to eat. She's got to eat something. She wouldn't be able to survive. Even if she got from resurrection, she's got to eat now.
Amen.
Feed her. That's what you should do.
Amen.
The second resurrection, when Christ raised that son, you know what Christ did? The Bible said Christ delivered him in the hands of his mother.
Amen.
It was some years back, I was with Brother Jack Rodix from India. We were eating Saturday night somewhere. I got a phone call from a sister. She's a nurse in the hospital. She said, brother, there's a little boy dying, about 4 years old. Can you come and pray? I said, yeah, tomorrow morning. Because early is church, but I'll come at 6 o'clock. She said, okay, brother, I'm the charge nurse there. I'll get you to enter in at 6 o'clock. But the mother is finished. The boy is dying. Even the mother also is a nurse. And the director of the hospital gave the mother the right to put the boy into some, place apart, and they were feeding him with a serum. I don't know what you call it, a perfusion. But he was rejecting the way he was dying. I rushed there early morning, and that night in my office, the scripture came to me. Jesus Christ delivered that son unto his mother. So when I got to the hospital, that thing was just in my mind. When I looked at the boy, it was desperate. The mother was crying. I said, lady, this is what I read yesterday night. And I pray for you. While I was praying, I said, Lord, I give the son back to the mother. You know what? 3 days later, he was in church eating French fries in the church. That little boy already healed. By the power of God. By simple scripture. Then I begin to realize Solomon, when he had to decide to whom to give that boy, that living boy from the two prostitutes, he had to take the word of the hour, the sword. He said, I'm going to split the... Then the true mother said, no. Give it to the other one. Even she claims that's her child. Give it to her. And Solomon said, no, you're the right mother. And she delivered the son in the hands of the right mother. And that's what Paul did in his time. And what happened to us in our time. When Paul was discussing Galatians 4 about the two mothers, Hagar, and Sarah. He said, we are not of that Hagar, that actual Jerusalem, which is in bondage, but we are of our mother, which is from above. He was directing the church to the true mother. Not the mother of bondage, but the mother of liberty, the mother of freedom, the new Jerusalem, which is the bride of the God. And when Christ raised that Lazarus from the dead, there also he said something after the resurrection. He said, loose him. He came out, but he was still in bondage. He came out from the dead, he was resurrected. He came, he went, he heard the voice of the message, but when he came out, he was still in bandages. And God has to ask the people to go and loose him. And I believe that's what God does with you in the church. You come to the message of the hour, sometimes there are still some vices, some things attached to your life, and the word of God, while it's being preached, is loosing you from those things. Do you believe that? That's why we need to hear the word of God. He said, now we notice here again, if the word is in us and has come to us. Do you believe that? If the word is in us and has come to us, as it did Elijah in that day, it will do the same thing that it did. He would feed on the secret things of God, which is hid from the world. So I told you this morning, the world knows nothing of it. Not only the world there, but the cosmos, the system knows nothing about it. But the word came to you. He said, we will feed on the secret things of God. Oh, again, it takes the message and the messenger as one. The spiritual food is ready. It is the season now. And each one of you can have this food if you wish it. Now he gives the condition. If you're willing to steal away from all the unbelief of this hour. If you want to feed on that word, really. just steal away from all the unbelief of this hour. If you are ready to come into Christ, come into His promise. Now He gives the promise. We think the promise is healing, which is right. But look at it. And remember His promises. He continues. What is the promise? Malachi 4. Luke 17:30. St. John 14:12. More scripture, Joel 2:28. He would do in the last days. And how the prophet said, it'll be light in these last days. How it would work. What it would do. All the scriptures pointing to this last day. And that is Christ.
Amen.
That's why it's not Branham. It's Christ.
Amen.
If you can hide away in that now, in that secret place, you can eat and see the goodness and mercy of God. If you're sick, there is healing there. There is healing in that message of the hour. If you're sick, then he prays, it's not their food. It's not the church so-called food. It's the bride food. It's spiritual food in due season. It would make them sick at their stomach. It's too rich for them. See, you can't do it, but for the children, it's bread. It's life. It's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, now he's praying, and Father, so is it today. The church, the true believer, the body of believers has access to food, spiritual food that the nominals know nothing about. The world knows nothing of this food, Father. But your church, your people, the bride of your Son loves it. And we have access to healing of our bodies when the doctors have failed. Do you believe that? That's the power that lies in that message of the hour. Oh, Grace Battle of the Fort in paragraph 3 to 5, he said, now, this is what I'm saying this morning. Storing food. Storing food. That you'll have something to eat. That you'll have something to feast upon. Get it on your tapes.
Yes.
Set in the cool of the room. Yes. Maybe when I'm a long ways away, you will still remember these things are true. Set in your room and listen, see? And this is food. Storing in the storehouse. I don't know where the trip is, but wherever it is, he knows where he's leading. I don't, but I just follow.
Amen.
What a wonderful message. I'm closing. Do you love him?
Amen.
Full obedience. That's why Joshua, he was blessed because he obeyed fully. If you go to the book of Moses, Exodus, if you read, I won't have time, it's too long. The Bible said that before the Holy Ghost will come and crown the tabernacle, the glory of God will come down. It's many, many, many verses. He'll be saying they did this according to what God commanded Moses. It was a divine order to follow the commandment of the prophet. And while they were doing every simple thing, every little item in the tabernacle had to be done according to what Moses was told. And that scripture came, plenty of them. And finally, the Holy Ghost came down. The glory of God came and indwelled because they did everything that Moses told them to do. And that was supposed to do. Full obedience, Bible says. Full obedience. Entitles you to the token. You must not, he said, not a partial obedience. Let me read that to you. The token is a sign that the purchase has been made, has been accepted. Full obedience to the whole word of God will entitle you to the token. Full obedience, not the part of it. As far as your denomination goes, but all of it. Full obedience to the word, which is Christ, brings you into Christ. The patriarch Abraham said there was a special thing for Abraham to do. And when God expects you to do a special thing, he demands a complete separation from any doubt. You've got to come to full obedience to obey what he says. God demands it. God demands. It's not asking you a favor, but God demands it. Full obedience to the word of God. Do you believe that? What a marvelous word God has given us. I'm going to read two little things and I close. Just to show you in the message, there are little things there which are not little things. They are full with vitality. In the message, the guide, while he was preaching, he said, now a guide. Sometimes we think the guide is the Holy Ghost, which is true. Because he said, when the Holy Ghost comes, he will guide you to all the truth. Then while he's preaching the guide, he said, in the time of Moses, Moses was the guide. He's telling you, okay, it's the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost has to use a vessel. Has to use a human flesh to work in. That's the principle of God. He said, now a guide has to know the way. I believe Eliezer knew the way, where to bring Rebekah. You know what Brother Bam said about the brother of Rebekah and his mother? I was shocked when I saw that in the super sign. He said the mother of Rebekah is the Roman Catholic Church. And his brother, you will be shocked, are the ministers. They wanted to retain her in her departure to meet her Isaac. Now a guide has to know the way. He has to know where he's going and what he's doing and how to take care of you along the road. That's why I have no fear having entrusted my life in this message of the hour. It's the guide. He knows the way. He knows where he's going and what he's doing. How to take care of you along the road. See, he's got to see that you don't come up lost. I like that. I'm happy. If I follow that message, he will see to it that I don't come up lost. Amen. That's what I want at the end of the day. He said, a guide is a selected man. Brother, I tell you again, come like this morning, he's that he's bidding. He's that he's choosing. He was selected by God. It was God from there, day one when he was young, said, don't defile your body. Amen. Don't drink. Don't smoke. It was a chosen vessel, a selected man, a guide. The state selects this guide if he's a guide. The state, the heavenly state has chosen Brother Branham as a guide. And now in going on a trip into the wilderness, where perhaps you are not used to going. You know, we are in the wilderness here. In a world of wilderness, of wild things happening in this world. And we are right here. And when you go into the wilderness where perhaps you are not used to be going, it's not a good thing for you to go without a guide. He's telling you clear. While we are walking in this world, it's a good thing to have a guide. And the guide is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost in the message of the hour. He said, frankly, some places you can't even go without one. The guide has to sign your license to the game warden. I like that. The guide has to sign your license. I don't want the prophet. I don't want him. I want Jesus Christ. Just think about those guys there, those Jews in the day of Pentecost, when they cried out, oh, my man, what shall we do to be saved? And Peter rose up and said, you know, repent. He said, no, we don't want you. Where is Christ? You just preach a nice sermon. God made him Lord and Christ. Why is that Christ? I don't want you to. No. They had to listen to what Peter had to say because he was given the keys to the kingdom. That man who was in that parable, he was sitting, standing by the door. He was the one to hand over the uniform, the clothing for them to get into the place where they were eating, having supper. That's why when Christ came, he said, well, how come you don't have your coat with you? You're not clothed because I gave the clothes to that man there. How come you try to bypass that man and try to come in and feast? You cannot. And we're thrown out. All these are clear examples that God had to use a man. A guide. The guide has to sign your license. And he has to sign himself. He's responsible for you. That's why today I say, Lord, I don't know anything. If tomorrow I'm condemned, I will tell you I've just repeated what you already said to me. You said to me, just say what the tapes say. Therefore, my life has been just said what the tapes say. I preach everywhere that what the tapes say, what the books say, that's all. He said, the guy, he's got to take care of you. He's got to see that you're not lost. He's got to be sure that he don't send you in somewhere that you don't know where your way back. That's why I believe while I'm reading this message, God is not sending somewhere where I won't know my way back. He's a true guide. He's got to know all these things or he cannot be a guide. He cannot be licensed to be a guide. See, I believe our prophet went through the right training. God brought him to the right training. Do you believe that? Therefore, that was my little message for you tonight. Stay with the message of the hour. Don't move out. I'll read a quote to you. If I was to tell you, I'm ending right now. That, what is the place where you live, where you stay, brother, are you? Balbriggan? Huh? Balbriggan? If I say that heaven will come close to Balbriggan tomorrow morning, I believe you all will take a leave from work. He said, heaven will come close to the earth at Balbriggan tomorrow morning. If it's a certainty, heaven will come with all of its blessings. Heaven will come down at Balbriggan. You won't go to work. He said, let me miss one day's work. I don't care. 100 euros. I don't care. But heaven is coming down there. Close. You know, in Rainier Island, when they hear there is the volcano would erupt, many photographers will take flights from everywhere in the world. Eh? They will come there because it's a great phenomena. Some climatic things happening, like if there will be what you call an eclipse. All those things, people will come with a big telescope, camera, big high zoom, just to go to some place. Rent a hotel, go there, be in the spot at the right moment to get good pictures of it. But now, let me tell you what Brother Abraham said about the place which is closest to heaven. Amen. You believe it? Amen. He was in a prayer line. He said, but now I want to talk to the woman. I want you all to be reverent. Now, sister, I know he loves you because he died for you. And I be his servant and you be his servant. Then there's something about you. If there's sickness, there's something here. And both of us human beings. It's trying to get your faith to look to something. That's what I'm talking about. And every word that I'm saying, now listen now. Every word that I'm saying, God has to give me utterance. That's why I say the message of the hour. Don't talk against the message of the hour. Every word that I'm saying, he's got to give me utterance. Or I wouldn't even be standing here, I'd be dead. Is that right? And standing here with this Bible open on the sacred desk. Standing here with this Bible open on the sacred desk. The pulpit, the closest place to heaven on earth. That's why it's good to come to church. Not to listen to a man. Because heaven consists of the word. When heaven comes down, here on the pulpit with that Bible open, he said, certainly. Certainly. The closest place to heaven on earth is the sacred desk. Do you believe that? While we are preaching the word of God, that's the closest place. And then you can get your blessings. Amen. God bless you tonight. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Amen. You know, the prophet, and as I was with Moses, he said something really interesting. He says, a prophet also is a sign pointing somewhere. Yeah? And if you take all that's been preached, that Brother Nanda's been preaching about the message, he's pointing somewhere. Amen. He's pointing you somewhere. Amen. That's what God's using. But the only time you'll ever know that it's really the truth is when you go to the message yourself.
Amen.
So many people enjoy it when somebody's pointing to the message and telling about the message, but I remember when we first came to the Lord and the great challenge was put to us, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, go and get the message yourself. Go and pray and feed upon the message. Go and meditate there and day and night like the scripture says. You know, we were saying it to the youth this morning. It's on your phone now. You can go and download it for free, the table. You can search for a topic. You can start listening straight away on that quote. Just press play and you listen to the message of the hour. And to the people that are new, that's the challenge I'd put to you.
Amen.
That's the challenge that I'd put to you. You'll understand why people get so enthused about the message of the hour.
Amen.
You'll understand why us, we've been studying it for all these years gone by. We don't want to study anything else.
Amen.
There's nothing can compare. There's nothing satisfies like this message. But the only time you'll ever be able to say amen the way we say amen is when you go and taste and see for yourself. And I'd really say that. I was saying it to the young people this morning. This message that God has given us, it's such grace. But we've got to use this grace that is given to us. So friends, let's really, really appreciate what he's given us. This message is vindicated in every way. I remember going through it those years back as well, showing in every type in the Bible, you'll find the message of the other prophecies. In every parable, you'll find the message of the other. You'll find it all there. So what is God putting it there for? He's trying to point us to something so that we ourselves will go and take that message and feed on it ourselves. And we will be able then to testify of the goodness of the Lord, what he's done to us. I already put it to a challenge. And we're saying this morning, don't always listen to what other people say about the message. No, it's the prophet himself. Don't just have your favorite minister in the message. Always listen to him. Listen to the prophet as well. That's the most important thing. You need to know the message for yourself. Not just what somebody else says about the message. But you study it yourself. And you allow the Lord to reveal it to you. That's such a wonderful foundation. The early years when we got in the message, we didn't listen to a lot of other ministers. We didn't go and got a lot of other message ministers and listen to them. We got into the message itself. You'd wake up in the morning, you'd listen to a message. You'd come home in the evening, you'd listen to a message. And friends, it's the greatest thing that you can do. Because then when all of these other winds of doctrine blow around and people want to try to convince you of this and that, you know what it says in the message yourself. You know that sure word of prophecy. You can discern straight away, this is not what he said. Or this is not the spirit that he said it in. Although somebody may be quoting it. So we really do so much appreciate. Because when you listen to someone preaching like Brother Nanda, what does it make you want to do? Makes you want to go and get in the message more. It makes you want to go back to great shining light again and say, but hey, I didn't see all of those things inside of there. Let me go and search those things out as well. It's wonderful. We so do appreciate his word. Let's stand. Let's thank the Lord for his grace, friends, this evening. Let's come to a time of worship. Thank you so much, Brother Nanda, for your faithfulness. I quoted it the other week when Brother Howard Searle was here. He said, Brother Andrew, we were driving in the car, and he said, Brother Andrew, did you notice one thing in the Bible? When Jesus said it, he didn't say the reward will be said in the way, well done, thou good and successful servant. He said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. That's what the Lord's looking for, is faithfulness. And friends, Brother Nanda is so faithful to the message. He's a faithful witness of the message. And I so do appreciate that. We really do appreciate what God has put inside of him. The Lord bless him until Wednesday night. We have service Wednesday night. Brother Nanda's finishing off. He flies off Thursday morning. So please, let's come Wednesday evening. Let's come once again by the grace of God for another true witness of the things that we believe.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deep sin within, oh, sinking to rise no more. Oh, Father, Master of the sea, hear my despair. Oh,
Sorrow, sins, and sin.
What condensation bringing us in redemption that in the dead of night not one faith opens eyes. Oh precious, oh precious, oh precious, you laid aside your strength. Oh, so painful.
Oh,
quite kind enough to come and close for us in a word of prayer, bro. If you'd be kind enough, bro, thanks. Amen. May the Lord grant traveling mercies to them that are traveling, and a good week, a prosperous week in all things.
Let's pray. Seigneur Dieu Tout-Puissant,
Amen.
Créateur des cieux et la terre, donateur de tout don excellent, merci de nous avoir parlé au travers de ce don excellent ce soir. Depuis hier, Seigneur Jésus, tu nous as visités au travers de ton serviteur Père pour nous rappeler, Seigneur, ces choses, nous ramener, Seigneur, à l'importance du prophète, alors qu'aujourd'hui nous voyons l'apostasie
en
train d'arriver parmi les gens du message, les gens en train d'abandonner petit à petit, mais cela ne nous étonne pas, Seigneur. C'était une prophétie, parce que quand Seigneur Junior Jackson lui-même qui a vu la vision, où le sommet de la pyramide a été coupé et que le prophète a demandé à tout le monde de regarder là pendant qu'il s'est retiré, et les gens ont attendu un peu de temps et ils ont commencé à se retirer, y compris lui-même. Il n'y a qu'un petit groupe, une minorité qui est restée regarder selon l'ordre du prophète. Seigneur, nous savons, Seigneur, que ces choses qui sont prêchées, c'est pour réveiller la minorité, Seigneur. La véritable épouse, Seigneur Jésus, qui doit comprendre, Seigneur, qu'elle doit prendre position malgré tout ce qui arrive, Seigneur, malgré tout ce qui s'est dit autour du monde. Elle doit rester dans le champ de Boaz. Elle doit rester glaner là-dedans le message de l'heure et ne pas aller ailleurs, Seigneur Jésus. Merci, miséricordieux, de ce que tu as encore des serviteurs fidèles qui peuvent encore, Seigneur, ramener ton épouse à ce que le message a dit. Sois béni à jamais, Seigneur. Dans ce message, il y a la vie éternelle. Dans ce message, il y a la puissance de l'enlèvement. Dans ce message, il y a la puissance de la résurrection. Dans ce message, il y a la puissance de la translation. Tout réside dans ce message. Seigneur notre Dieu, c'est pourquoi, Père, en restant attaché à ce message, comme Rebecca, les mêmes chameaux qu'elle a breuvé, les mêmes chameaux qu'elle a donné de l'eau, c'est ces chameaux qui l'ont amené vers Isaac. Ce même message que nous adorons, ce même message que nous gardons, ce même message que nous pratiquons, ce même message que nous obéissons, c'est ce message qui nous transportera vers notre épouse céleste. Merci, miséricordieux compatissant. Oh Dieu Tout-Puissant, nous croyons de tout notre cœur qu'il n'y a pas un autre message en dehors de ce message. Seigneur, quand tu envoies ton prophète, tu lui as dit ceci: ta naissance mystérieuse est compliqué. C'est parce que tu vas amener un don de, le don de guérison à toute l'humanité. Si tu amènes les gens à te croire, et si tu restes sincère pendant que tu pries, rien ne résistera à ta prière. Seigneur Dieu, il y a la condition dedans que s'il amène les gens à le croire, oh Dieu Tout-Puissant, il pouvait dire ceci: vous avez besoin de croire dans Dieu le Père, Dieu le Fils, Dieu le Saint-Esprit, pour être des chrétiens, pour être sauvés. Mais croire ces choses ne pourront pas vous aider dans ce temps ici. Dieu veut qu'après avoir cru Dieu le Père, Dieu le Fils et Dieu le Saint-Esprit, Dieu veut que vous puissiez croire qu'il m'a envoyé avec un don spécial pour vous. Seigneur notre Dieu, Seigneur Jésus, et c'est difficile à un homme to a man, à un mortel
to a mortal,
de croire
to believe
dans un autre mortel.
Mortal.
C'est tout à fait normal, Père,
normal,
qu'aujourd'hui,
that today,
les gens abandonnent ce message.
That people are forsaking
parce que, Seigneur Dieu, cela était prévu, Père. Mais pour nous, l'épouse, Seigneur Jésus,
bride,
à qui ceci a été prédestiné,
to whom this has been predestined,
c'est nous que tu as dit, je vous enverrai Élie le prophète. C'est
Elie
nous, les vous, Seigneur Jésus. Nous voulons te dire merci.
We want to thank you.
Nous voulons te dire merci.
We want to thank
parce que
you.
Si tu nous parles de cette manière,
if you speak to us
c'est
in this
parce
way,
que tu sais
it's because
que nous
you
avons
know
besoin de ceci.
That we need this, oh Lord.
Pour être stabilisé.
To be stabilized.
Sois béni, Seigneur.
Be blessed, oh Lord.
Bénis ton serviteur.
Bless your servant.
Il a parlé, Seigneur.
He spoke, oh Lord.
L'énergie est partie.
Energy went out.
Restaure l'énergie.
Restore energy.
La puissance.
The power.
Bénis-le davantage.
Bless him above.
Son ministère, Père.
Bless his ministry.
Inspire-le encore.
Inspire him.
Bénis sa
again.
Famille, Père Céleste.
Bless his family.
Et tout ce qu'il entreprend pour
and
toi, Seigneur.
He's
et que Seigneur Jésus,
and
chaque fois qu'il se tiendra encore devant ton
every
peuple,
time he'll stand before your people,
qu'il puisse être une bénédiction.
Let him be a blessing.
Et pour tous tes enfants
and
qui ont dit amen à cette parole,
bénis-les,
Seigneur Jésus.
Bless them.
Je crois de tout mon cœur que tu as répondu, Père, à chaque requête enfouie dans chaque cœur ici.
Hidden in every heart, okay.
Tout celui qui a une requête, Père,
everyone who has
qu'il reçoive la réponse
let him get the answer
dans le nom de Jésus.
In the name of Jesus.
Béni sois-tu, Seigneur.
Blessed be your name,
béni okay. Notre pasteur Andrew.
Bless our pastor Andrew.
Béni son ministère.
Bless his ministry.
Béni sa famille, son épouse.
Bless his family, his
bride. Et tout ce qu'il entreprend pour toi,
and
Seigneur Jésus.
It has for you.
Alors que nous allons partir d'ici,
as we are dismissing,
accompagne-nous, Seigneur.
Be with
protège-nous,
us.
Seigneur.
Protect us.
Ramène-nous encore mes crédits, Père,
bring us back
pour écouter ta parole, Seigneur.
To listen
dans le nom
word.
De Jésus. Nous avons ici prié. Amen.
Amen.
If I just say one thing to the saints who deal with the sound is that Brother Lubanza did electronics. It's one of the secrets that he has, which he told me, which he shouldn't have told me. So, because our sound sometimes needs a bit of first aid, you know. So I know. Thanks, bro, for helping with the microphone today. And if the saints, Brother Shep, if you would arrange with Brother Lubanza, I'm sure he can give some good advice as to how to get the levels of things right, because you know, sometimes it's too loud, sometimes it's too soft. It would really help us in worship, because it's not that easy to worship when it's too loud and you know the things are beating you like that. So I really thank the Lord that he's allowed the brother to go through that so that he can help us in these things as well. So may God bless Brother Nanda in the days laying ahead. Give him a good rest. Let's keep his family, let's keep his church back home a big work. They've got some youth meetings coming up. So let's ask the Lord to bless those. Let's not forget our youth meetings as well. 30th of June up to 3rd of July. I've been in contact with a lot of different ministers. Well, we'll see who comes. The Lord will send the youth who need to be there. But let's really keep those meetings in prayer as well. And may God bless you. Let's sing that song, Holy Words of Our Faith, handed down to this age as we dismiss in Jesus' name. Amen.
Long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with voice on high. Oh, let the ancient words divine. Words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, Lord, help us to go. Came to us through sacrifice.
changing me and changing me. We have come with open hearts, only ancient word, ancient word.